This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He joins me as the shrimping season begins in Louisiana. We want to get his assessment of how successful or unsuccessful that will be as a result of all the resulting impact of the BP oil spill from way back in April. We also want to get his thoughts and his latest update on the fight to lift the Obama administration's moratorium on deepwater offshore drilling. And, Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, I remember talking to you a few weeks ago, maybe even a month or two ago now, and you said that this crisis and the result of the administration's response to it is threatening the three major industries in your state, certainly in the southern part of the state, tourism, oil and natural gas drilling, as well as the seafood industry. Now that the shrimpers are back out there, what kind of expectations do the experts seem to have?
Well, Greg, it has been a huge hit to all three of those legs of our economic stool, but finally the flow has stopped, so at least we're turning the corner on that, and seafood is getting back in production. We're really waiting and seeing what this shrimp season is going to be like. It was delayed. Now it's open today. Shrimpers are very uncertain, fearful about what the market will be like, and a lot of it is correcting misinformation and misperceptions out there. The bottom line is that any Gulf seafood that ends up on a store shelf or in a restaurant is safe by definition, because there have been a lot of precautionary closures and a lot of precautionary action to guard against any hint of contamination. So I hope that word gets out there, because seafood that is ending up in those places is safe.
And we're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, I know from our conversations and just from following your response to this crisis that you're still working very hard to try and lift this Obama administration drilling moratorium, particularly on deep water areas. But I know it's affecting other potential drilling as well that's not in deep water. Right now, the moratorium is set to go through the end of November. What's been the impact on jobs, and what are your latest efforts to try and lift it?
Well, Greg, unfortunately, the bottom line is that this moratorium is threatening more jobs than the oil itself. And if it continues for one or two more months even, it will cost us more jobs, potentially up to 150,000 good jobs in the Gulf. Nobody's arguing that we need to go back to the way we're doing business a year ago, that changes don't have to be made. But a lot of folks, including me, are saying we can make immediate changes that would allow drilling to resume now and not shut down those good jobs and hurt an already fragile economy in the middle of a serious recession.
Before we get to the economic impact in more detail, what are some of those changes in drilling that you think could be made pretty easily?
Well, you, for instance, immediately on a temporary basis, you could put a federal official on each one of the 33 deep water rigs who would have the authority to shut down operations if there were any signs of difficulty. We know from the Deepwater Horizon incident that there were many signs of problems for days before that explosion. So that's just one obvious example.
Senator, I know that tomorrow in Lafayette you're going to be on an on-site meeting of the Senate Small Business Committee. What are you hoping to convey to the constituents, and what do you want to hear back from them?
Well, we're reaching out to hear about the economic impacts of this moratorium. We had such a hearing in Washington, D.C. It was very useful, a very informed discussion. Unfortunately, there was one gaping hole. President Obama didn't send anyone from his administration to even try to justify the moratorium, even though both the Democratic chair, Mary Landrieu, and myself explicitly invited them and asked for that. They didn't send anyone from the administration. That was really, really disappointing.
Have they given you any further reason for why they've not only imposed the first moratorium, but then imposed another one once they knew that the first one was headed to defeat in the courts?
You know, all we've heard is this very vague rhetoric that, oh, we need to be extra sure it's safe before we resume operations. Of course, everyone wants to do that, but there are so many industry experts who have given the administration lists of things we can do immediately to absolutely avoid the sort of event that happened with the Deepwater Horizon explosion.
Senator, I know you said a moment ago that within the next month or two we could see an even greater hemorrhaging of jobs. To what extent have oil producers and natural gas producers already picked up and gone to different waters because they can't work right now?
That is happening, and every week, unfortunately, we have a new announcement of rigs usually moving overseas to places like Brazil and West Africa. So that is happening. In addition, we got more bad news today. The Interior Department announced that it was doing away with certain rules and making the NEPA environmental process a whole lot longer and a whole lot more complicated for any drilling operation, even very routine operations. That's going to shut down some activity as well.
Senator, let's say that the moratorium gets lifted tomorrow, or if it gets lifted at the end of November, how long would it take to ramp up again?
That's a great question, Greg, and it really depends on what the rule book is. If the rule book is beefed up, a lot more protections, but reasonable and workable, then it can potentially ramp up in a matter of weeks. If the rule book is so uncertain and unwieldy and ill-defined, it won't ramp up for 6 to 12 months because both the industry and the regulators will be spending that amount of time just figuring out what the new lay of the land is.
From what you're hearing, if anything, is it more likely to be the former or the latter?
Unfortunately, and I wish it were not the case, unfortunately, it's pointing to the latter. We sort of see this in shallow water. In shallow water, there's no formal moratorium, but there is a de facto moratorium because the new rule book is so unwieldy, complicated, and uncertain. And so when the administration says, well, there's no moratorium in shallow water, well, an obvious follow-up question is, okay, how many new drilling permits have been issued there? As of 2 weeks ago, the answer was zero. As of today, I believe the answer is two. So there is a de facto moratorium there, and that points to that negative scenario I'm scared about.
Do they give you the same explanation as to the deep water moratorium, or is there a different explanation as to why the more shallow water is not happening?
They're saying they're, you know, working through the new regs, but that was promised weeks ago, and we still have the same de facto moratorium in place in shallow.
Last question before we let you go, Senator, and we talked a little bit about the seafood industry, a lot about the oil industry. The third, of course, is tourism. The president briefly making a trip to the Florida Panhandle, try to drum up Gulf Coast tourism. Do you think that did much, and what are you seeing in terms of that picking up again in your state?
I don't know. I hope it has some positive effect. Certainly, we want to get the word out that Louisiana tourism is open for business, and Louisiana Gulf seafood is open for business, and what shows up on store shelves and in restaurants is perfectly safe. So we'll keep working on getting that word out.
Very good. Senator, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.
Louisiana Senator David Vedder. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.